Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, truly blessed to be with you this morning. We are going to get into our word. Because as y'all know, we got to go to work. So let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you this morning for giving us a do-over, for waking us up with a pep in our step and a praise in our heart. For God, you are good and your mercy endures forever and all times. We thank you, Father God, for this word this morning. We ask you, Lord God, that it be a balm to our, I ask you, Lord God, that it be a balm to our soul that needs to be healed. Lord God, may this word touch minds, hearts, and spirits, for we are all your children, Lord God. And we ask you, Lord God, to let your word touch our hearts, minds, and spirits. In the name of Christ Jesus, Father, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. This is my daily prayer, knowing, Lord God, that you are in charge. And I ask you, Lord, to use me. Speak to me today, Lord God, that whatever I say comes from you. Remove all flesh, Lord God, and replace it with the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, again, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength. And today's word is different. As I can say, the title is just a one-verse title that God gave me this morning, and it's our proverb word from Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 1. And it just says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And I'm like, okay, God, you just said people can be stupid. Excuse me, and the word that he gave me was, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. He who hates correction is stupid. And, you know, I taught my sons to and daughter, you know, and grandkids, you know, you never use the word stupid because it's such a degrading word, you know, to tell somebody you're stupid. But yet even God calls a person who cannot accept correction, stupid. And that was just something that just like, wow. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And that was the title for this morning. And you'll understand why this title is important as we get through our word today, because it actually fits the lesson. And I was so, I'm like, wow, Dr. Stanley definitely knows what he was doing when he put this word together. Because we're going to talk about the children of Israel and how they almost made a mistake, almost did something that could have been detrimental to them getting into the promised land. Because understand, they have been out here now 40 years. You know, they went over a whole lot of stuff, you know, that we didn't get all the 40 years in. But understand that 40 years, they've been out here. 40 years, they've been in this wilderness journey. And sometimes it may take us that long to get it, to understand that God's word is important and that what thus says the Lord is what we must do. Honor our fathers and our mothers. Treat each other right. You know, like I said, you take the top 10. That's what I call them, the 10 commandments. You take them, divide them in two, and you have the first half. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength, as Jesus said. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. It all fits the first and greatest commandments. The first and second are the greatest commandments. Love the Lord, love your neighbor. And if you look at the 10, just read them all the way through. First half, loving God. Second half, loving your neighbor. And if we look at it in that respect, we know that those are the things that are important to God. It's to love each other. But understand, God does not play. He is not going to let you fall either. You know, there are folks that will try to stick a stumbling block in front of you to make you fall, to make you look bad, talk about you like a dog, but then say, oh, but that's my friend. No, you're not going to talk about me. You're going to pray for me. So we need to pray for each other instead of using this awful little tongue behind our teeth to dog out folks, to vilify folks, to tell everybody what they should do when we got our own skeletons, we got our own stuff, we got our own drama. And the children of Israel were given an instruction. They had to get rid of the Midianites. They had to go and destroy these folks. Why? Remember, Balaam, about it last week, that God could even use a donkey. He used one then, he's using one now. Understand, God can use anything and anybody to get a point across. Balaam tried to curse the children of Israel, and it flipped. Everything he tried to do then happened to the Midianites. And now God's getting ready to get rid of them. He's like, they ain't got to go, but they're going to get out of here. And understand, Phinehas had to kill one of their sons, because he was so bold as to bring Cozy into there. You know, he's like, Zamir and Miss Cosby. I guess I'll call her Cosby. I think it's C-O-Z-B-I, Cosby. So we're going to call her Cosby. And anyway, she's going to come in. He's going to come in, fornicate, adultery, all of it right in front of the people, as if to say, y'all ain't nothing. And what happened? Phinehas took that javelin and stuck it through them both to stop the curse. Because God was getting ready to kill them all with a plague. 14,700 folks died because of this. And so Moses is going to have to remind them, don't be stupid. We're not falling down that rabbit trap again. No. And it seems harsh, because I'm thinking, wow, God, you destroying everybody. But he said, no, I'm not going to destroy everybody. But the ones that got experience and the boys, yeah, I am getting ready to light it up, because that's the future, your future enemy. So let's read the word, and then you'll understand why the title is what it is. Because God always does everything decent and in order. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. But he who hates correction is stupid. Not my word, God's word. Again, not my word, God's word. Because I'm sure that somebody said, oh, she said somebody's stupid today. Nope, I just repeated what God said in his word. That he cannot hate to be corrected. I know I have done some things in my life that, Lord, thank you for the correction. I thank my parents for the correction. I thank my mother for the correction. You know, you gotta come correct. I've told you my story many times from being a child of disobedient, being a disobedient little thing. 7 years old, I'm going to get my pickle. Thank you. I'm grown, like I was grown, and got hit by a car. I could have died in my sin that day, but God had plans for my life. 9 years old, gonna go to the wedding down the street at the church, told to be home before the street light comes on. Miss Thing here gonna walk home. The street light is coming on, and I'm acting like, that's after I done drove past my house in the car with the bride and groom and waved at my dad sitting on the porch. Come on now. Bold. And what happened? I was told to be home before the street light came on, because on a Saturday night where I lived, yes, there was part of the neighborhood that was all that and pretty good, no drama. But there was another part of the neighborhood that had the pool hall, had the chicken shack, had the Masonic Lodge, had the cab company, had the bars and all those things. Even though I didn't come that way, I came a different way. I still could have got myself kidnapped, hurt, anything, being disobedient, coming home almost after dark. I got home just, the street lights had made it on, but it was starting to be dusk. And I shouldn't have been out there at my little nine-year-old self. And what happened? I got a spanking that I deserved. And God will spank us when we deserve it. And your parents will go off on you when you deserve it. I don't care how old you are. You don't disrespect your parents. And I was being disrespectful to my father and to my godmother, to my father, godparents, basically, who I lived with. They were my parents. And I was being disrespectful when my father said, you know, when Henry told me, be home, and I wasn't. And this was one time that Miss Lillian didn't beat my behind, because that was usually the disciplinarian, was my mother, my godmother. But I tell you one thing. He never spanked me again, because I knew that he didn't play. You know, you think your dad is the one that, oh, yeah, he's going to stand up for me. Uh-uh. That day he tore my behind up. Deserved. Only, and I think it hurt him more than it hurt me. But it got my attention, and God will do that. He will beat our behinds to get our attention, because he does not want us to be stupid. So let's get into the word, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. We're coming out of this morning, Numbers chapter 31 through Numbers chapter 32, verse 42. We're also coming out of the book of Psalms. And our Psalms word is Psalms chapter 35, verses 1 through 8. And our New Testament word is, we're still in Mark chapter 14, verses 55 through 72, and you'll understand also the title based on the New Testament too. So let's get started, because we don't want to miss anything. And the word of God says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance on the Midianites, for the children of Israel, after you shall be gathered to your people. In other words, you're about to die. God had given him warning that he was going to die. And let's keep it going. It says, so Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm some of yourselves for war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel you shall send to the war. So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, with the holy articles and the signal trumpets in his hands. And they warred against the Midianites just as the Lord commanded Moses, and they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed, Evi, Rakim, Zor, Hur, and Reba. The five kings of the Midians, Balaam, the son of Beor, they also killed with the sword. And we know Balaam was back in some earlier chapters. That was who the donkey talked to. And it told us that he was going to die. And he did right here in this war. And the children of Israel took the women of Midian captive with their little ones and took as spoils all their cattle, all their flocks, and all their goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts. And they took all the spoil, all the booty of the man and beast, And then they brought the captives, the booty and the spoil to Moses, to Elijah the priest, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho. And Moses, Elijah, the priests, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over the thousands, the captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident of Peor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. And as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person and whoever has touched any slain, purify yourselves and your captives on the third day. And on the seventh day, purify every garment, everything made of leather, everything woven of goat's hair, and everything made of wood. Then Elijah the priest said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, this is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. All that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water, and you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day and be clean, and afterwards you may come into the camp. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, count up the plunder that was taken of man and beast, you and Elijah, the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the plunder into two parts, between those who took part in the war, who went out to battle, and all the congregation, and levy a tribute for the Lord on the men of war who went out to battle, one for every 500 of the persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep. Take it from their half and give it to Elijah, the priest, as a heave offering to the Lord. And from the children of Israel's half, you shall take one of every 50 drawn from the persons, the cattle, the donkeys, the sheep, from all the livestock, and give them to the Levites who keep charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Moses and Elijah the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. The booty remaining from the plunder, which the men of war had taken, was 675,000 sheep. Wow. 62,000 cattle, the 1,000 donkeys, and 32,000 persons in all of the women who had not known a man intimately. And the half, the portion for those who had gone out to war, was in number 337,500 sheep, and the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 675. The captive. Wow. I'm just sitting here in awe of everything God gave them from this plunder. The donkeys were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. The persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 2 persons. So Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's chief offering, to Elijah the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And from the children of Israel's half, which Moses separated from the men who fought, now the half belonging to the congregation was 337,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, and 16,000 persons. And from the children of Israel's half, Moses took one of every 50 drawn from man and beast and gave them to the Levites, who kept charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then the officers who were over thousands of army, the captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, came near to Moses, and they said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command, and not a man of us is missing. Therefore, we have brought an offering for the Lord, what every man found of ornaments of gold, armlets and bracelets and signet rings and earrings and necklaces, to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. So understand this. They went out against the Midianites, and not one died. Of the 12,000 that went out to fight, not one died. tell me what God can't do. So Moses and Elijah the priest received the gold from them, all the fashion ornaments and all the gold of the offerings that offered to the Lord from the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds was 16,750 shekels. The men of war had taken spoil every man for himself. And Moses, Elijah the priest, received the gold from the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle meeting as a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jezer and the land of Gilead, that indeed their region was a place for livestock, the children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Elijah the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Atharoth, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Heshbon, Eliah, Shaban, Nebo, and Meon, the country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore, they said, if we have found favor in your sight as a possession, do not take us over the Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh to Barnea, and see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and the Kenizzites, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once again leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. Then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel until we have brought them to their place, and our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the children of Israel has received his inheritance. But we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because of our inheritance has fallen to us on this eastern side of the Jordan. Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterwards you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, then take note, you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do what has proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our livestock will be there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, just as my Lord says. So Moses gave command concerning them to Elijah the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle before the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead as a possession. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possession among you in the land of Canaan. Then the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan. But the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan. So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to half the tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Sihon, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Or, king of Bashan, the land with its cities and within the borders, the cities of the surrounding country. And the children of Gad built Dibon and Atharoth and Arirah, Atroth and Shaphan, and Jazar and Gogbahath, Beth Nimrah and Beth Haran, fortified cities and folds for sheep. And the children of Reuben built Hashmon and Eleh, and I'm not saying that right, I know I'm not, Kerjathim, Nebo, and Baal-Meon, their names being changed, and Shemeth, and they gave other names to the cities which they built. And the children of Mekar, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and disposed the Amorites who were in it. So Moses gave Gilead to Machir, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt in it. Also Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took its small towns and called them Jair and Nobah, went and took Kenneth and his villages. He called them Nebah after his own name. And it says this as a life lesson. And for those just joining this moving forward experience, the Bible that we are reading this year is the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And we're coming out of the New King James Version. And when I say life lessons, life questions, life examples, those are coming from Dr. Stanley. And I'm telling you, they are always right on time and so appropriate. And the one for today is this for Numbers chapter 32, verse 15. If you turn away from following him, he will once again lead them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. As believers, we must always take our responsibilities seriously. When we try to take the easy way out of a difficult situation, we may hurt others, even if intentional. And so let's get into our Psalms word, and it is, as always, a great word. A Psalm of David. Plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for my help. Also draw out the spear and stop those who pursue me. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. I like that word. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. That's a word. That's a song. Say to my soul, I am your salvation. Let those who put to shame and brought to dishonor, who seek after my life, let those who turn back and brought to confusion, who plot my hurt, let them be like chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark. Angel of the Lord pursue them. For without cause they have hidden their net for me in a pit, which they have dug without cause for my life. Let destruction come upon him unexpectedly, and let his net that he has hidden catch himself. Into that very destruction let him fall. Wow. And you're like, wait a minute, David is cursing somebody. Mm-mm. David is only saying back to God what God would probably have said to him. Because then we got that Proverbs, and it says, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. And that's the title of our lesson today. Because understand, when the children of Israel brought back these women, understand, these were the same women that tempted y'all to go into idolatry and adultery the last time. Lord's like, oh, you got to kill them. kill every last one of them. Only one that should live is somebody that has not had a man. Because then you can help them to understand. They will become, down the road, wives and servants and those things. But ones with experience, they're not going to be able to do anything but tempt you into doing stuff that's wrong. And the reason they got rid of the boys is because that's the future who would be your enemy within your midst. Not that girls can't do stuff, because they do. We can be something else too. But understand that it was all a point for everything that God does. He does it for a reason. Psalm's word, and this is a life example. He pleads your case. Sometimes people will tell lies about you, and you will not be able to defend yourself. We all have been there. We've all have had those situations. And if you haven't, understand, you will. Their fabrications will endanger everything you care about, your job, reputation, family, and even your future, because Satan is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. He will often concoct untruths about God's children in order to hurt them or damage their credibility. We see it every day, every day. This certainly happened to Jesus. Mark 14:56 tells us many bore false witness against him. This was the only way that the Jewish religious leaders could send Jesus to be crucified, by lying about what he had done. And did they lie? Yes, they did. And after they had crucified Jesus, the chief priests and Pharisees went even further. They said to Pilate, "Sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise.' Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, 'He has risen from the dead.' So the last deception will be worse than the first." Matthew 27:63-64, which we read. And as we go forward, it said, finally, after Christ fulfilled his promise to rise from the dead, the religious leaders bribed the guards to say that the disciples had sold Jesus' body. Matthew 28:11-15. And let's just call it straight. That lie is still out there on the book. That lie is still out there within the Jewish community, because there's some that just cannot get it, that the Messiah has come, because they don't want to. But he who hates correction is stupid. That's what the Lord said, not me. That's what the Word of God said. But there are many who know what the truth was. Because I always say, if it wasn't the truth, then why did you stop sacrificing all them animals, right? Just think that through. But anyway, let's keep going. It says, let lie after lie was told yet. Proverbs 19:5 promises, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. So understand, when folks lie, talk about you, record you, put you out, your business in the street, it never goes the way they think it will. It never does. Because folks that know you, know who you are, know your heart, know your blessings, know what you do for others, don't worry about what somebody says about you. You give them to God, just like David had to do, and keep on moving. Don't, as they say, you got to sometimes, what did Jesus say? If they're not hospitable, dust your foot off and keep it moving, basically. You got to shake it off. Shake it off, and keep it going. But don't hate. Don't have unforgiveness in your heart, because that hurts you more than it hurts them. Forgive, shake it off, keep on moving. And give them to God and let God handle it. Don't worry about it. Because the Word of God says this. This is what Dr. Stanley has to say. The falsehood of the priests and the Pharisees was soon dismissed. Jesus confirmed his resurrection by appearing to many witnesses, Acts 13:30-31. In fact, it's been reported that there were more than 500 eyewitnesses to Christ's resurrection. because of the people who saw Jesus had risen from the grave, the gospel spread like wildfire. No lie or clever deception could stop the truth from prevailing. The point is that God is a good and able defender, and he will bring the truth to light. Matthew 10:26. Therefore, ask him, as Psalms 35:1 instructs, plead my cause, O Lord, with those who strive with me. Fight against those who fight against me. Surely as you serve him, he will show the justice of your actions and show your accusers for what they really are. Psalms 37:6. Therefore, don't fear their falsehood. God's truth will prevail and you will too. Can we say amen? Dr. Stanley has preached the word this morning. And this is for our topic, for our title today, Life Lesson. Whoever loves instruction loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid. Criticism is often difficult to listen to. However, the best way to handle it is to ask God if there is truth in it. He may be using someone else's word to reveal blind spots in your character that need work. Remember that correction is always an opportunity for growth. Say that is the truth. Say it again. Remember that correction is always an opportunity for growth. Constructive criticism has never hurt anyone. It's only helped you if you're willing to listen. That's it. So let's get into our New Testament word again. Jesus told Peter what he was going to do. So let's find out. And this is what it says in Mark 14:55-72. Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimonies did not agree. Most liars who talk a whole bunch of stuff, they stuff never agree. A lie is a lie is a lie. And just understand this. When you start lying, you got to remember the lie that you told. Then you got to remember that the lie that you told, to cover the lie that you told, about the lie that you told. So it just compounds into one big lie. And one lie can spread and create so much confusion to the point where folks think that it's all right to go and create a insurrectionist event. And we know what I'm talking about. January 6th is January 6th, and we can't change it. And all based on a lie, the big lie. And that's what it will be called from this day until forever, the big lie. Think this through. When you're known for the big lie that you fail for the okey-doke, big lies. Big lies destroy nations. A lie is a lie. And then every time what's done in the dark always comes out. And all your stuff that you're trying to hurt somebody else will backfire on you. Watch God. Don't play. Don't play with God. Moses had to tell the children, nope. I know y'all don't want to kill them women and them children, but you're going to kill every woman and every male that you brought up in here. Every one of them got to die. Because that's what God said. And we think in our minds, my God, God is harsh. It is for a reason and a purpose. And as we continue in this New Testament word, it says this. Then Saul rose up and bore false witness against him, saying, we heard him say, I will destroy this temple made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But not even then did their testimony agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, do you answer nothing? What these men testify against you? But he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying to him, are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Jesus said, I am. and you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the power and coming with the clouds of heaven. You have to get all excited. Then the high priest tore his clothes and said, what further need do we have of witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think? And they all condemned him to be deserving of death. Then some began to spit on him. Now, I'm sorry. That is the nastiest thing anybody can do is spit on you. That is nasty. And so they spit on him. You think about this. Somebody spit on our Savior. Spit on him. Can you imagine how you feel when you find out he is the Messiah and you spit on him? And it goes on to say, and to blindfold him and to beat him and to say to him, prophesy. And the officers struck him with the palms of their hands. He was beat up, spat upon, beat up, blindfolded, and vilified. And folks doing this dirt had family members that were healed by Savior, that were healed, that were set free, that were released from demon possession. And here they are, following the crowd, beaten up on the Savior. And understand, God has a way of humbling you, has a way of correcting you, has a way of making you stop and think things through. And then it goes on to tell us now, go get back to Peter, who got some knowledge on this day. And this is what it said. And now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, you also were with Jesus of Nazareth. And he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you are saying. And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed first time. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, this is one of them. But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. And your speech shows it. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. So as folks want to get all holy and heavenly bound and no earthly good about somebody cursing, Jesus used Peter. Because he wasn't the one that was speaking the truth, but had to cuss out some folks. Peter was a curser. We all have said some things we regret and wish we had not said. Because none of us are perfect. But then, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. When we know we have been corrected by God, we have been corrected, and we say, okay, I messed up, I'm sorry. The Lord God forgives us. Because understand, family, the only one that can judge any one of us is God. I can't judge you. You can't judge me. Because again, everybody wants to judge someone. Look at that. Got them big old planks hanging out of their own eyes and they trying to judge a speck in somebody else's. We got to keep our tongue behind our teeth and quit trying to judge everything and everybody. Because understand, we all got to stand before the Most High. And he will be the one to make the decision on who makes it in. And so many judging spirits will not make it in. So many heavenly minded and no earthly good will be still wondering why they in the pit with everybody else, with that person that they talked about like a dog, that woman that they judged. And wait a minute, hold it, stop. That woman that I judged is not in here. Oh, wait a minute. How did she get in? Be careful what you do and what you say, because you don't know who you're speaking to. God knows our heart. And God knew Peter's heart. Jesus knew his heart. He was scared. He was afraid. He watched them take their leader, their shepherd, treated like he was nothing. We got to understand, fight, anger, things that we go through will make us cursed. And he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. And then this time, a second time the rooster crowed, three times the rooster will crow. Then Peter called to mind the words that Jesus had said to him, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. And when he thought about it, he wept. That is our word this morning. And just an overview, a life lesson. And when he thought about it, he wept. Peter immediately understood the seriousness of his sin, which is a good thing. 2 Corinthians 7:10 tells us, godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. Catch that. I'm going to say it again. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation, not to be regretted. Peter was no longer belligerent as he was in the garden, John 18:10. Rather, he was repentant, which is just what he needed to be to receive the risen Christ. We got to repent when we do up. When we mess up, as my pastor likes to say, all we got to do is clean up. Moving. Don't let somebody vilify you, talk about you, make you keep having to repent for something you already repented for. Don't keep apologizing for something you already apologized for. Forgive and keep on moving. Because we ask God to forgive us, we got to forgive those that sin against us. You don't forget it, but you forgive it and keep it moving. And let God do the rest. We are blessed beyond measure. Why? Because we are children of God. And if there is anybody that has a word this morning that would like to speak, just push the number 1 on your phone or call 213-943-3597, and your line will be open. Again, 213-943-3597 is the call-in number and just the number 1 on your phone. And again, our title, whoever loves instruction loves knowledge. He who hates correction is stupid. Let us not be stupid. Let us continue to receive the instruction and knowledge that our Father sends us and gives us through the Holy Spirit, and watch God work in your life. And before we get out of here this morning, we have no callers that are wanting to speak. They're all listening in this morning, so I thank God for each and every one of you. We have a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word is this. Good morning. To keep moving forward ahead is not going to be an elevator ride, nor an escalator ride. It's a walk of faith, one step, family. And remember to keep God first in all you do. And I'm just going to go back over to yesterday's word because it just fits also today. Things have a way of working out. Never underestimate the power of prayer, faith, and love more than anything. Never underestimate the power of God to see you through. Have a triumphant Tuesday yesterday and today. Have a faith walk Wednesday. One more time. To keep moving forward ahead is not going to be an elevator ride, nor is it an escalator ride. It's a walk of faith, one step at a time. Have a faith walk Wednesday, family, and know that everything is going to work out for your good, because you are who? You are God's children, and he loves you. I thank you again for listening in this morning. Have a blessed and wonderful day. And as always, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of Christ Jesus, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. But moving forward, it is a wrap. Because why? It's time to go to work. Love you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap.